Chapter 2. The Patent Slave. Bern, Switzerland, Friday, 17th March, 1905. It was nearly 8 o'clock in the morning as the young man dressed in the unusual plaid suit hurried to work clutching an envelope.
To a passerby, Albert Einstein appeared to have forgotten that he was wearing a pair of worn-out green slippers with embroidered flowers.
At the same time, 6 days a week, he left his wife and baby son, Hans Albert, behind in their small two-room apartment in the middle of Bern's picturesque Old Town quarter, and walked to the rather grand sandstone building 10 minutes away, with its famous clock tower, the Zeitlogeturm, and arcades lining both sides of the cobbled street. Kramgasse was one of the most beautiful streets in the Swiss capital. Lost in thought, Einstein hardly noticed his surroundings as he made his way to the administrative headquarters of the Federal Post and Telephone Service. Once inside, he headed straight for the stairs and the third floor that housed the Federal Office of Intellectual Property, better known as the Swiss Patent Office. Here, he and the dozen other technical experts, men in more sober, dark suits, labored at their desks for 8 hours a day, sorting out the barely viable from the fatally flawed. 3 days earlier, Einstein had celebrated his 26th birthday. He had been a patent slave, as he called it, for nearly 3 years. For him, the job brought to an end the annoying business of starving. The work itself he enjoyed for its variety, the many-sided thinking it encouraged, and the relaxed atmosphere of the office. It was an environment Einstein later referred to as his worldly monastery. Although the post of technical expert, third class, was a humble one, it was well paid and allowed him time enough to pursue his own research, despite the watchful eye of his boss, the formidable Herr Haller. Einstein spent so much time between examining patents, secretly doing his own calculations, that his desk had become his office for theoretical physics. It was as if the ground had been pulled out from under one, with no firm foundation to be seen anywhere upon which one could have built, was how Einstein recalled feeling after reading Planck's solution of the blackbody problem soon after it was published. What he sent in the envelope to the editor of Annalen der Physik, the world's leading physics journal, on 17 March 1905, was even more radical than Planck's original introduction of the quantum. Einstein knew that his proposal of a quantum theory of light was nothing short of heresy.